Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Wizards hoping to finish strong. The lob here. Extra pass. Beal for three. Stays perfect in the corner, and that's a big shot right there by Beal.
What up on this edition of the Wizards Talk podcast? Drew Gooden, producer Gary Carter, and we got an intern in here too. I won't say his name, but he's learning the game. I'm Chris Miller. We got a lot to get to on this podcast. The Wizards are starting the three-game homestand before heading out for a very tough West Coast swing during the Thanksgiving holidays. They got off to a 138-132 victory over the San Antonio Spurs, getting some get back from earlier in the season where I thought the Spurs stole one in the Alamo for the 19th straight year. Drew, I want to start with you on that game. Another high-scoring affair. And I want to give you some props because you actually gave me some props on the post-game show. What is the magic number for a Wizards victory this season?
Hold on, man. You want to just keep having this documented of me agreeing with you?
Yes, because as I said during that post-game show, we don't agree a lot. So when it does happen, I want to make sure it's illuminated to the people in all of our spaces on the media thing. So TV, Instagram, iPads, put it on there, put it on the podcast, all that. So what is the magic number for success for the Wizards?
Well, as much as I don't want to tell you, Chris, and everybody listening, but it's 120. And you, my friend, I think is a pioneer of just opening up my eyes to that number, 120 for the Washington Wizards.
Are you surprised that it's that high of a number? Because last year we would joke and say first team to 100. Are you surprised in 1 year we've gone up 20 points?
Well, you went up 20 points in offense, but you actually went down 20 points in defense, and then they still, you know, equal the losses.
So is it the Clippers guy, right?
Ralph Lawler.
It has the first team to score 100 yeah. wins. So now you're trying to tell me, Drew, that we got to up that by 10 more buckets?
Well, now listen,
just to guarantee yeah,
you
a
know
win?
What?
Or 20 free throws.
Hey. I got out right now. I got to shout out Big Drew, my pops, because he used to have a code saying, he used to say this, okay, if you're not going to play defense, you got to play some offense. You see what I'm saying? You can't do both and think you're going to win a game. You can't come in here and just play, can't play no offense and not playing any defense and expect to win a basketball game. You're going to have to do one of those things extremely well to even be in a ball game.
Can you truly win in this league now, though, Drew, by just playing defense? I mean, the way everything has gone now, everything favors offensive teams that shoot the threes, the analytics, all the numbers and all that. Can you be a great defensive team and win games in the league that's the way it's currently constructed?
I think you don't have to be the best defensive team. You don't even have to be a top five defensive team anymore. You just have to be the most consistent defensive team. Who can go on the best runs by getting multiple stops, consecutive stops, not just one every other time, or you score, I score, you score, I score, we're tied, fourth quarter, whoever decides to play defense and play defense great at spurts and at the right time and play the right way at the right time will ultimately come out on top.
Hey
Drew, we got breaking news, Drew. Chris has lifted the moratorium on the intern. I think we're going to allow him to talk.
But he's not even an intern. I kid with that. No, he's a young buck on the come up. Introduce yourself to the people on the podcast and then ask your question to Drew.
It's Quentin Mayo here. That's T-O-N, by the way. Quentin Mayo. Wizards Outsiders before the game, Wizards Talk after the game with a great producer, Gary Carter.
That's my God, guy. He's kissing up.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to pay my dues.
Well, I'll tell you what, man.
Drew Gooden. I got a question for you. I listened to all the podcasts because I'm an avid listener, and you sat down with Ish Smith, and you guys chopped it up for a great two-part series. What did you think about Ish Smith's performance last night? just going off from off the bench, how do you think he works off the bench for this team? And do you think he can keep that up scoring-wise every single night?
I wouldn't say every single night. Now, listen, he's paid to do a good job. He's well paid to be a backup point guard. And that's where that's his moneymaker right there, that position. When he started the year off as a starter, I think he was playing out of position. You see what I'm saying? And when IT got back healthy, I knew that it's just number was going to be called to have to come and lead that second unit. Because that second unit, I think, is a lot better, not to take anything from IT, but I think it's a lot better with Ish being able to distribute the ball, play defense, get deflections, get the guys going. And I'm not saying we expect it every night from Ish, but he's going to come close to doing that on a consistent basis. Now, with IT, I like him in that first unit because he's learned how to play with Brad. He picks his times when to shoot. I think he adjusted quite well as a starter in my eyes.
This bench against the Spurs went for 63 points. They were ranked second in the league in bench points before that game. To get 21 from Bertans, to get 21 from Ish, 13 from Mo Swag, going along with those six rebounds. Drew, I've said a couple times, and I want to get your take on this. I don't think there's a drop-off between the first unit and the second unit if you take Brad out of the mix. Do you agree with that?
I think that's a fair statement.
Gary, do you agree?
Don't just agree with him, Gary, now.
As of right now, the stats don't lie.
Q, do
and
you
they
agree
look like that,
him?
Yes.
Q?
I'm going to go yes.
So with that being said, that has been my thought all season long. Going into the season, I was like, well, there are movable parts in the point guard position. There's movable parts in the small forward position. I think at the power forward position, at the center position, there are movable parts. Scott can kind of put anybody in there except Brad's position. So with that being said, against the Spurs, the point guard position, the minutes were doled out right down the middle.
Right.
Ish got 24.
Right.
IT got 24. And then, Drew, when you saying IT is a guy that you like in the starting lineup, that's fine. If he's playing 20 to 24 minutes, I'm down with that. Because if Ish is going to do what he did like last night, listen, he's not going to have 21 every night. But I think if he has that kind of night where he is a force driving the ball down the hole, distributing it, drawing, kicking, or hitting threes, then I think that point guard position is okay this year until the cavalry comes next year.
Yeah, well just to point out one thing with a rebound and the ball. Now, I don't want to single out anybody, but I think for the starters, I think they're playing good enough defense, but they're not completing these defensive possessions with securing a rebound. And you can't sometimes always blame the bigs on rebounding the basketball. Sometimes guards have to get in there and help gang rebound, especially how small the game has gone to smaller guys out there versus it used to be four big giants down there playing a power forward and center position, a guy like Rui Hachimura. So it's a different landscape now. Isaiah Thomas has had one rebound in the last three games.
I'm sorry.
but Drew, now, to be
I didn't mean to laugh.
You did. That was a little.
I didn't mean to laugh.
But no. I'm not being sarcastic. That if you look at the stats, he has had one rebound. So there's been possessions where I think they've done a good enough job to stop the team defensively, but they got to play another round. I mean, the Spurs had 12 offensive rebounds last night.
Can we get Bertans to play them every night? Can we get the Spurs on the schedule? Man, he likes playing that old team, doesn't he?
For sure.
Pop is sick about that. I think that's one. I wouldn't be surprised if Davis goes back and retires a Spur.
No, he said that during the broadcast.
Really?
I think Drew said that. He's like, hey, I'm coming for you as soon as your deal's done.
Right.
Going back home. Go ahead, Q.
Well, it's talking about Davis Bertans, I would love to see him come back next season. I think he fits perfectly for what this team wants to do on the fast break.
That bag might be a little bit
They have his bird rights. So, I mean, you're going to have to lose some, but you can. I know he's going to be a hot commodity at the trade deadline, obviously. But imagine John Wall looking like a wolf. We've seen him in practice every single day. Him, Brad, young guys coming up, and Davis Bertans still doing what he does from the three. That's kind of what this team has been. When they're at their best form, that's what they do. You got guys running like Beal and Wall. You got some bigs down there getting boards, and you got a stretch big like Bertans knocking the three down. So I would love to see him back next year.
We've actually spent this whole time on the Wizards Talk podcast, Quinton Mayo, producer Gary Carter, Chris Miller, Drew Gooden on the phone, and we haven't even mentioned the dude that dropped 33 last night, 21 in the third, going 9 for 9 in the third quarter, Bradley Beal.
Here's Beal, his pull-up jumper. Bradley Beal is 7 of 7 here in the quarter.
Drew, have you ever been that hot?
Yeah, but it was probably just only one time, man. I think he hit 10 consecutive shots.
He did.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't think I've done that. Now, maybe in some pickup, maybe in practice, something like that, but I don't think it's documented.
You know what's funny about him is, I said this to him last night, is, bro, you're like your worst critic. You know, no one will be more critical of Bradley Beal's game than Brad. Not his mom, not any of us hacks on the mic or writing articles. I feel like at halftime he already knew what he needed to do, Drew, and you've been a teammate of his. But at this level in which he is playing, for him to come out in the third quarter and say, and he said it after the game, you know, I'm the best player out on the floor.
Yeah,
I need to act like that. I felt like he acted like that in those 12 minutes in that third quarter.
Yeah, you could tell that he won. You could see the development. But not only that, I see almost like an Iron Man mentality, because when I played with Brad, he was injury prone. Mm-hmm. Missed a lot of games due to like just unorthodox injuries of movement, something. And we just never had Brad on a consistent basis at certain spurts when we needed him. But now, like, looking at the Orlando Magic game when he twisted his ankle in the first quarter, I mean, we saw on the replay, I asked the producer, Rich Wolf, to play it back because everybody seemed to miss it. And, I mean, the side of his ankle touched the floor, and he popped back up, and he finished that game like it never happened. So that's like the mutant thing, like healing like Wolverine that quick. We've seen LeBron James do it. We've seen other superstars do it. And I think Brad has that written all over him.
It's interesting how we've seen his game, it's weird, evolve this year, though. Remember the first couple games of the year, it seemed like he didn't want us to take over and start scoring right away. Mm. He was getting everyone else involved. He'd be passing, and then kind of picked his spots and then
went. He needed to see what he had with him.
Maybe. But now it's like, okay, I'll go get mine, and then that opens up, I think, everyone else.
I asked him in Minnesota, I said, are you at a place in year 8 where you can assess kind of the room, if you will?
Right.
when to go be Brad and when to be Brad. And there's a difference. There's a Bradley and a Brad. Bradley, I think, is the nice one that wants to facilitate and get everybody going. Then there's that Blue Magic Brad that has got the best shot out there. Right. And then I thought that Blue Magic Brad was the third quarter where he was like, okay, enough is enough. I got to get to that point as the leader to take over and let the Spurs know, like, I'm the best dude out here. And go ahead, DG.
But you know why he's hard on himself? Because he's supposed to put two of those halves together in his mind. He thinks he's supposed to have 50. Same thing goes for Minnesota. If you look at that game on the road, if he makes two of those, whatever, 4 or 5 threes he missed, I think he went 1 for 6 from three. If he makes two of those, he has a 50-piece. So he's hard on himself. Like, man, I'm not supposed to go 1 for 6 from three and have 44. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think he knows these are 50-point games he should be getting. He could be playing better, and I think he could be playing better.
Drew, we talked about this last night on Wizards Talk and on Wizards Outsiders.
Man, promote your show.
You know what I'm saying? We came here to shameless plug going on 1 hour before and after every single Washington
promote
Wizards
your
game.
Show, young fella.
We're there. Is Brad an all-NBA player? I mean, we've seen him play at this level for the last 3 years, and he's gotten snubbed. This year, right now, he's third in the league in scoring. We're assuming he's going to keep this up. Does he make an all-NBA team this season?
Listen.
Uh-oh.
There's no way we don't even need to talk about him on an all-NBA team. I think he has that now. Where this team is at and the success the team gets is what actually opens up the door for those type of entries, all-NBA, MVP talk. Mm-hmm. Is his numbers there? Is he playing at an all-NBA level right now? He's playing at an MVP level right now.
For sure.
Look at his numbers compared to who else? The other three MVP candidates.
James, Giannis, and Luka? Is that what we're saying?
There you go. He's
well,
right there with them.
Guess what? I'm going to stop this right now. The Kang is number one.
on really? The MVP list right now.
Mm. Hey, let's
call me. Say I'm wrong.
No, we're gonna talk about this in a second. We got into a hell of a discussion last night after our show.
Oh yeah, that was heated.
And so let's get to that in a second. But keep going about Drew or about Brad, Drew.
Just Brad, I think he said he's hard on himself, and that's what you're supposed to be. But what I like is what you mentioned already, Chris, is what he said in that interview. That was powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean.
I feel like I'm the best player on the floor, so act like it.
So one player in franchise history has averaged over 30 points a game in a season. Chris, do you know who it is?
I would go right to G.A.
It is not. He averaged 29.3.
Oh, wow, closest man. He got.
It's not even Elvin Hayes. You got to go all the way about. Walt Bellamy did it.
Mm. Wow.
Averaged 31.6. So my question to you guys, will Brad become the second player to average 30 a game for this franchise?
Honestly, the scary thing about this is he could be averaging 35 right now.
Mm-hmm.
He got easily. Easily.
So look at those two games when he went back-to-back 44 balls.
Right.
Oh, Beal. Oh, what was God. That?
Gave him the shammy?
Wow.
Did he give him the shammy? He's in his bag.
Thomas Bryant with the sink face over there.
Man, Brad is in the bag tonight.
Those were – I thought that was light work for him.
Casual.
Light.
I thought it
light
was real
work.
Light. I thought the Minnesota one was so light, it was ridiculous, right? The Boston game, I think he had to scratch for that one, fight a little bit more. But that Minnesota one, again, third quarter, he started being Blue Magic Brad, where there's nobody in front of him that can stop him. And, Drew, I'm going to give you some credit now, and I appreciate you jumping on him in a casual way of saying you have got to get to the free throw line. The fact that you have said it, his father, Bobby, has said it, and he is now starting games, what does he do? More times than not, he's going to that rack.
Off top. I mean, and what all three games, when he went for 40, the first thing he did in all three games, what correlated and was exactly mirrored image, was him attacking with his first possession, getting fouled, and making his first 2 points from the free throw line. Go look at the tape. I don't have to. I was right there.
By the way, he just finished playing his 500th game in the NBA.
Wow.
Yesterday was 500.
Dang.
Isn't that crazy to think about that? Averaging 20.1 points per game in his career so
far. Now, I will say this. I feel like John has been in the league for 10 years because, you know, I think I've chronicled every step. Like, literally, he took one step, he took another step, and I feel like I've chronicled that. Brad, it doesn't feel like it's been 8 years to me mm-mm. that he's been in the league. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Drew. Like, this version of Brad, this high-level version of Brad has been like 3 years. And you think about the first couple of years he was in the league, yeah, he was injury-prone. So, like
– and quiet. And quiet.
And quiet. And that's another part of his evolution. As you listen to the Wizards Talk podcast, Chris Miller, Quinton Mayo, Gary Carter, Drew Gooden on the phone, is the verbal part of Brad's game has gone to that next level.
Yeah, I mean, do I have to say something? was that a question? I mean – he's not only leading vocally, he's leading with his actions, too. It's one thing having a guy saying, we got to play hard and never practices. You see what I'm saying? Brad is practicing every chance he gets. He's leading in practice. He's leading on the court. And so when he does talk, you got to listen.
Who was like that when you played, yeah. Drew? One of your teammates
myself?
Like that. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. I took pride in practicing every day, and I went hard every possession. And I was going to say, hey, we playing like you know what right now, or we got it going. Let's keep it going. You know what I mean? So I always took pride in being that guy. But, I mean, LeBron was great at it. I mean, I feel like at times he was more – you talk about extension of a coach. I feel like he was the coach sometimes.
He was for real.
No, not to take away from Mike Brown, but Mike Brown really facilitated.
Damn, Chris, that's the second time you laugh like that today, Chris. Come on, man.
LeBron was the coach.
No, I understand that, but that's the second time you've been a little disrespectful to people.
He was the general manager.
He was.
He was the advanced scout.
Yes, he was.
He was the trainer.
The video coordinator.
Yeah. So what are
we
talking
about?
I'm
just, you know, just
Yeah, I mean, so
I apologize LeBron about the IT one, though. Yeah, but the LeBron one is facts. Okay. I was there. I saw it.
That's fine. All right.
Yeah, so, like, LeBron led like that. You know, if there's anybody that really stuck out to me and is worth, I mean, just talking about, LeBron is one of those guys. Because he going to say, I don't know. First of all, I don't know about the practice part, but far as leading by example on the court in timeouts, promising he won't lead us, like guaranteeing I'm gonna take y'all, bro. Listen, training camp in 2006, LeBron James, before we even practiced, said every time we put our hand in this huddle, and when we go out, whether it's after a timeout, after it's before the game, if it's before practice, after practice, whenever we put our hands in, we're going to say 1, 2, 3 championship. And he said it just like I'm saying to the whole team. And I was looking, I looked at somebody else, I was like, this dude's crazy, right? Like, am I tripping? Like, is he crazy? But no, I think it's sometimes you have to be crazy and think like that. But he promised us in 2006, that team, everybody – this was the worst team he ever took to the finals, which we probably were. He actually took us to the finals, man, and we were in the finals saying 1, 2, 3 championships. So when I say lead by example, when he spoke, you listened.
So you were there. I'm sorry.
Gary, taking all this mic time, man. Let the young fella talk.
But he just brought up something real quick. So you were on the Cavs team where LeBron scored the last, 25?
29.
The Cavaliers lead 109-107, and the Pistons call for time.
48 points for LeBron James. He has scored the last 25 points for Cleveland. 29 of the last 30.
29 out of the 30. We combined for 30 points. He had 29. I had one. I split 2 free throws.
There you go. There you go. What is that like when you see that? When you saw him literally take over like that, that must have been crazy.
Chris, I just asked him this. I literally just asked him this last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What did I say, Chris? What type of what movie was it like?
Was it
was it like The Matrix?
Angels in the Outfield. You ever seen Angels in the Outfield? When they would hit the home run and an invisible angel would take the ball and throw it over the fence and it was like he was shooting every time he shot the ball. It don't matter wherever he was at on the floor and one. Whenever he threw the ball up, man, it's like an angel was in the air grabbing the ball, just dropping it right in the hoop.
And then you have to remember, for the kids out there, Quentin,
here we go.
Go Google who he was playing. At that time, the Detroit Pistons were the bullies on the block. Mm-hmm. Not like the old Pistons, but defensively they were one of the best 5 units out there with guys that were committed, you know, pulling the rope.
Yep.
And LeBron said, I don't care. And I remember a lot of the plays were at that nail at the free throw line, and he would just catch it right there and just go to work.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else was even guarding us, Chris. They were so locked in on LeBron. And LeBron was like, I'm not even passing anybody anymore. That was a zone that you would never imagine seeing somebody in, let alone being in the game with the guy. And when I say he willed us to victory, I mean the referees were cheating. I mean, I'm talking about they were literally cheating us out of that game because we were not the team to go to the finals. He went against the grain. He went against all the forces that were against us getting in him to get to the finals. It was all of that. You got to remember, they used to hate on LeBron, bro. You got to remember that. They did not want to see the young Bronny succeed, and when he busted through that force field, it was all she wrote.
Poll in the room here. I'm looking at the standings. The Wizards are 1 game out of the 8th seed.
See.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Let me talk my stuff. The Magic right now, 6-8. The Wizards are scoring at a historic rate right now. They're one of the best offensive teams we've seen in franchise history, for one. Teams that score like this win games. If the Wizards can play just a centimeter more of defense, just a sliver of defense, do we all agree that they are better than the Hornets?
Yes.
The Bulls? Come on, Gary.
Or,
yes or
they're
no?
They're better than Orlando.
Better than Orlando.
Sure.
The Hornets, we said yes. The Bulls.
You're about to say the Hawks. Go ahead.
Are they better than the Hawks?
No.
Okay. Are they better than the Cavs?
Whoa. Back up. Why? They've got the savior on the team. They've got the best player in the league, right?
They have John Collins for another 20
years. Oh, wait.
If you say that one more time, I'm going to come across this.
Seen people, oh, my God, Trey Young is the best thing ever.
Oh, I thought you was going to go take that draft shot that everyone's
– Oh, please don't.
Everybody's shooting me below the knees this year because –
He's taking some. He's shooting 25% from the field, Chris.
Give him some time.
But 25%? One out of every four shots?
They might need to see my man.
That's like you, Q.
Drew, they might have to send my boy Cam Reddish to the G League.
hey! Let's not even talk about that, Chris. Are you done? When are you going to start saying I'm right?
By the way, that's the last time he's ever going to back a Dookie.
Ever.
Ever. So, Gary, you have to witness all of that, too, huh?
Let me see Cassius Stanley do well this year. And I'm like, nope, no thank you.
I like how you switch the subject. But subject of the Wizards.
Drew, you're right, but go ahead.
So, keep going.
Since you tried to throw us that smoke grenade real quick.
Right, look, you tried to run out of there. The Hawks.
Listen to my theory about the Wizards. We talked about the record and where they're at, the state of the Wizards, and the what ifs. Now, listen, the Wizards, give them some time. They only play 12 games, fellas.
Together.
Everybody else has played. Look at the Knicks, 15 games. Cleveland, 14. Detroit, 14. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, 14. Chicago, 15.
Talk to them,
Charlotte, 15. Orlando, 14. 14, 14, 15. 13. Miami's the second. But the second least amount of games in the Wizards. Mm-hmm. So listen.
Basically, he's saying if the Wizards played two more games, they'd be top 15 in defense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not even that. No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that, Chris. You're very smart, though. But look, two games they should have won. And now, this is that shoulda, coulda, woulda, where they could possibly be. The Houston, I think they gave that game away. San Antonio, I think they probably gave that game away. But let's just say they won that, too. They'll be looking at 6-8 right now. Mm-hmm. Same record as – excuse me. Six.
It'll be 6-6 right now.
6-6. So they will be, what, 500?
Yes.
So they'll be in the seventh seed behind Indiana now?
Come on, Chris. Yes, that's the third time,
Chris.
They're
laughing at you, Drew. Chris, I'm trying to back it
that's
up.
That's the third time, man.
Look, Drew adding up in his head, man. There's a lot of space
in there. I'm looking at this. My bad, fellas. But give them a chance. They haven't had that many tries. They're still trying to figure this out.
Right.
These other teams are, we always said a 20-game mark is your identity. This is what really – we know who we're going to play. We know who's going to be promisable this year. Like, who's going to look like they're supposed to be at a given time?
We got eight games to figure out who what their identity is.
They better get these next two because that road trip
is crazy.
Is
the Clippers, the Lakers,
awful, man.
Hey, Drew, let me ask you something. Something happened the other night after that Spurs game that Scott Brooks said in his post game, and it caught my attention, and I said it in the post game show. So it's kind of a way for coaches to send these messages without getting fined. So I don't know if you heard this, but Scott said, the Spurs had one guy that went to the free throw line more times than the entire Wizards team. He was talking about DeMar DeRozan.
He's going to get to the line. I mean, he's attacking. He's shooting 24 shots, and he's attacking. One of their players had more free throws than us.
He went to the free throw line 17 times. Wizards as a team went 15. But the way he said it was a way to make sure that he wouldn't get fined. But he did send the message like, we're noticing that as a team, the Wizards aren't getting to the charity stripe. In all your years of playing in the NBA, when coaches, I think politicking might be the word I use here, does that stuff work? Like in the next game or in the next couple of games, do the officials hear that and say, let's at least look at that?
Well, let's document it. Let's see if it works, and maybe if he got fined a lot of money, maybe that brings some attention to it. But I mean, I don't think this is a big enough offense where it's really going to bring attention to it unless you do something internally, like reach out to Kiki Vandeweghe or reach out to Michael Bantam, one of the head guys over there, over the referees, the NBA department. Unless you do something internally, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to really affect the game. Now, during the game, getting technical fouls in live action, now I can see that kind of, change the flow of the game. And some guys that didn't get calls. Now, like Brad, if Brad gets whacked twice, I'm getting the tech. The next time Brad drives to the basket, I'll probably get that call. So I can see that happening in real time. But over a 24-hour span, I mean – new officiating crew, I don't know how much that would pierce the officials.
Walker shot blocked. Kawhi Leonard blocks it, and the Clippers hang on and win in OT.
All right, it's time to get into some league matters.
Go, here we go.
And you know exactly where I'm going.
Go.
The Boston Celtics had the best record in the Eastern Conference, correct?
Mm-hmm. They did.
And they're currently on this West Coast swing. Their last game will be against Denver, but before that they faced, well, they weren't even the fully loaded Los Angeles Clippers. Supernovas played for the first time. And mind you, they never practiced. Newsflash, Doc Rivers didn't even have practice time with these two guys. And they won in overtime at home. Pat Bev was amazing. Probably played his best game ever. Drew Gooden.
No.
You are?
No.
Oh, so you're just going to say no already?
Already. No.
You didn't even get, let me get the question. Wait.
Pyrite.
You didn't even let me get the question out. So you're saying no still?
I'm saying pyrite. You guys know what that is? That's fool's gold.
Wow.
See what I deal with, Gary?
That's
crazy. We went through this last year, me and this dude, and he was wrong again. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen on the podcast, let me just get something off my chest right now. Drew Gooden has a way of just disrespecting my takes on things until he has to come on this podcast and say I was right, like he did last year. Drew, who won the NBA championship last year?
That was by fluke, man. That was by fluke. The Toronto Raptors, but that was a fluke, and we all know it.
Huh. Okay. It wasn't like the NCAA tournament where you play one game. You got to play a seven-game series.
I mean, if you tell me, okay, you can't play with Kevin Durant, you can't play with Klay Thompson,
document this. Listen to this soliloquy. Go ahead.
I'm writing it down.
Come on, man. That drastically changed the numbers in Vegas, everything. It becomes reality. I mean, we know what that was.
Okay. And then, so I didn't get my question out, so I'll allow the listeners to hear the question so you can say no again. I told Drew before the season started that the Clippers would win the NBA championship. Drew, I think you went with their cross arena tenants, the Lakers. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're 12-2, and your Clippers are 10-5.
Okay, in the head-to-head matchup in the opening game of the season, who won?
Your Clippers won.
Oh, without Chris? Paul George.
Yeah, but you got to remember the regular season doesn't matter.
Oh my God!
It doesn't matter unless it's a tiebreaker, seeding, division opponent, whatever. That doesn't mean anything in the regular season. When it comes time, and you know what I'm talking about, what time it is?
When that popcorn,
you already know who's gonna shine.
So let me ask you this, and I'll get you guys' take on this too. Which team needs the higher seed if they are to meet each other in the conference finals? Do the Clippers need home court, or do the Lakers need home court, or does it even matter because they play at Staples? Now, be careful when I'm – because you saw the Laker fans took over a Clippers game.
Right.
So I'm asking, who needs home court?
So it doesn't
matter
then.
Are you saying it doesn't matter either?
I don't think it matters.
It's going to be
Lakers arena either way.
Right.
I think it would be in the Clippers' best interest not to see LeBron James in the playoffs.
Would they still stretch that series out like 3.5 weeks? Even though there's no travel. Like, would the NBA do that? Seriously, think about
this
that.
This would be the first time in playoff history they play on back-to-back because they're both
right. Like, literally, are they going to have, like, 3 days off in between games 2 and 3?
That's a good one,
because,
Gary.
Like, you know, we got to do all this travel.
Layover, man. That traffic is
are
crazy.
They, yeah, seriously. What are they going to do there? I'm just curious. I kind of almost want to see that now.
That's funny.
Well, it's going to happen.
Will it happen?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
I think it possibly can happen.
I think Houston's going to mess up doing some stupid stuff and get in the way of somebody. I don't like this.
Have you not seen the James Harden playoff experience yet? Have you not seen it up?
James Harden's the best player in the league, Chris. He's averaging 40 points a game. He's going to win MVP.
So you're being sarcastic right now.
No, I'm not. Somebody thinks that. When was the last time we saw somebody score 40 points in a game? James Harden ought to be MVP if he does that. Right, Quintone?
Why is this impression of me like that? Like that's not even remotely what I sound like.
No, I know, but
Chris, Youngblood,
Chris,
you said that?
Chris, let me rectify myself because you know he's biased, okay? He wants to get his point across.
Wait, I just want to
You didn't
sure.
say
Did
that
say
last
my,
night.
My argument, and Drew, listen, hear me out here. All I said was if James Harden averages 40 points per game this season, which he's on pace to do, which has not been done since 1963-1964, Wilt Chamberlain, he is the MVP of the NBA Association.
Because he averaged 40?
Yes. I believe we haven't seen 40 points per game in that long.
I agree.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. That's all I need was DG.
I agree.
I don't care what y'all think. Thank you, DG. Thank you. If he averages 40 points per game, something that has not been done since I was on this earth, Gary, Chris, DG, your parents, 1963-64 was the last time a player averaged 40 points per game. If he does that, he's the most valuable player, period.
And you know why, Q, I'm agreeing with you, not only because you're right, I'm agreeing with you because that's my preseason MVP.
That's the only reason why.
It counts. It counts. Thank you, sir.
So you're going to give him – you would give him MVP over what LeBron's doing right now?
I said in the long run.
I'm saying in the long run. If LeBron does this for the long run.
If he averages 35, 37, almost 40 points a game, bro, that's MVP.
Easily.
Didn't Jordan average 36 one year and not get it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a different day and age. You got to get the this is a whole different voting system.
It was a different day and age when Bolt was averaging 42, though.
Yeah, I don't know how the voting system was back then, but I know how it goes now. And if that boy averages over 36, 37, and those range of numbers up there, you got to give it to him.
But once again, scoring is up all around the league, right? Because nobody's playing defense.
We haven't seen it in the first
15, 14 games of the season. Of course, scoring it's going. Who's going to be able to keep sustaining these numbers over time and stay healthy?
Can you please?
It's a good point. I mean, you're trying to tag Chris in.
Saying 40. You know, 40 is a great number.
Sure.
But I feel like what Bronny is doing, if Bronny can get close to this triple-double number, because all of a sudden, listen, Westbrook did it for 3 years.
Right.
He got an MVP out of it. If Bronny does it, or if Luka, I mean, listen, what Luka is doing at 20, is he 21 yet? I mean, can he go to the club yet?
He can.
He's still got Similac on his breath and what
Chris,
he's doing.
I hate to cut you off, but Ronnie's always going to be in contention for the MVP every year.
Jordan. Jordan should have won it every year.
We know that.
Exactly.
But who's next? Who's the next guy?
Exactly. That's what we've been saying. Bron can win it every single year. That's not the argument.
Harden's got Westbrook. Fan of him or not, you still have a superstar all-NBA guy on his team.
I think that makes it even more impressive.
LeBron has Anthony Davis. LeBron's got – Luka's got
– You mean Cherry Coke?
By the way, you're calling
Anthony Davis Cherry Coke now?
By the way, he's playing with that his shoulder's bothering him. I told you, Drew, Cherry Coke.
I think he's a big piece of what the Lakers do. I don't know how much they would miss him if he got hurt. Like, how much Houston – will Houston really miss Westbrook if he got hurt?
Yeah.
He's almost averaging a triple-double again.
Bro.
Quietly. I think we've all become so desensitized.
I think people just look at a triple-double now like it's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because of Westbrook. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So
What happens if it's Luka, though? What happens if Luka's Dallas team wins like 48 games?
What seed?
Way over. Right now they're
the fifth. I mean, I know, again, it's all early. But
let's say they're the sixth or seventh seed. They win 48 games.
They'll be in talk.
It made a conversation.
He should be. And I'm not even like Nick Ashew around here. He is the president, the founder of the Luka Fan Club. And
well, of course. Just, you know.
I get it.
I can see that.
Okay, you can see that.
He's bad.
He's a bad dude.
He had
22-5-5 after the first quarter last night. He's unbelievable.
We saw him opening night.
Right.
Oh, man.
He's the truth.
Hey, Chris. And we talked. I was all like, yo. I had to probably seen something like that, like, you know, when you see something different.
that was different. And then
that was different.
Scott Brooks had to look down the bench with like 5 minutes left in the game, was like, Brad. Brad was like, are you serious? And Brad literally went from being an offensive player to being, I have to exude a lot of energy on the defensive end to try to stop this guy to give us a chance.
We've never seen that from Brad.
Yeah.
Ever.
All right. So I asked you the question. So you guys say it really doesn't matter who gets open.
I don't think that matters.
If the Lakers and Clippers face off.
Agreed.
I will say this, though. As I was watching that last night, something happened that kind of got me out of my seat. And I was like, Jason Tatum crossed over my favorite player.
Oh, made him fall. He's an all NBA defender, too.
Tatum for the tie. Got it.
You know what I thought at the time, Drew? I could laugh about it now, but I was like, oh, no, did Paul just break his leg again?
Oh, no. You didn't say that.
Oh, you broke.
I thought that. No, you I thought didn't. That. The way he fell, I was like, oh, did he cross him up that bad? I'm like, no, not Paul.
He didn't even
push. Was it a wet spot?
No, he actually stepped on his foot, but he crossed him up.
It was
a
three that tied it put it to overtime, Drew. Yeah. Go back and look at it.
Just pull it up while you're on the phone.
Yeah, actually, do that, please, because I want to hear your reaction as we do it.
It was tough.
It was one of those.
And Tatum is a kid that I think is blossoming with Kyrie being gone.
Gee.
He's going back to being like what he looked like
think?
His rookie year.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting that Boston's playing well, huh?
But I will say
interesting
this.
Interesting that the Nets aren't playing well, huh? What's the correlation?
I did notice something last night, though, about Boston, and here's the reason why I don't think Boston is going to come out of the East. Kemba, at the end, started playing like Kemba from Charlotte, where he felt like he had to do everything. I think if Kemba just takes a step back,
but isn't that
you've got Jason Tatum, you've got Jaylen Brown, you've got Smart, you've got pieces, okay?
They're 12 games in, though, 13 games. They're just learning.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get that.
I don't know if they're better than Milwaukee and Philly.
I think they are.
You do?
I don't buy any stock in Philadelphia.
Like, the only team I think that can actually deal with big teams is the Clippers.
Not the Lakers?
The Lakers have crazy size.
See, I'm not sold.
Dwight Howard?
I'm not sold.
Superman?
JaVale, I'm not sold.
JaVale's been doing well.
Does Boogie come back this year? Can he come back? Will he come back this year?
What is he when he comes back?
He would cost that team so much on defense. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league right now.
Drew, you're big on the podcast.
Drew, are you still looking for this basket?
Man, you know what? I can't play it because it's so loud. It will interfere with the podcast.
you don't need the volume. You don't need the volume.
But what I do see is the fall, and they took a perfect picture.
Yeah, you don't need the volume. You just need to see him put one move. Hey, it was nasty, man.
Yo, he touched. Yeah.
He touched her for real.
I thought I was like, please let him be okay. Get up, Paul. Get up.
And tried to get
you said DeMarcus Cousins? What?
What?
See, Gary?
You said DeMarcus Cousins, is he coming back this year?
Yeah, could he come back this year?
Oh, you're going to have to ask whatever county that's looking for him that question.
Oh, see.
Wow. You ain't right.
Yeah, he went there.
You're going to have to because he got to deal with legal problems.
He do.
So you can't ask his agent. You can't ask the Lakers. You can't ask Pelinka. You got to wait till the law and the court, you know what I'm saying? I mean, once they get involved, you got to talk to them. So I don't think they got a timeline for DeMarcus right now on his return, whether he's healthy or not.
All right, Drew, how does this road trip look like to you coming up? This will be Denver, Phoenix on a back-to-back, and then they get Lakers, Clippers.
I would have to say it's going to be tough because you're starting in Denver. But at least you'll be getting in shape in the Rocky Mountains. <That's
true. laughs> Do you have to go there early, Drew?
I'd rather go there early than late because that last one, you might as well chalk it up, 20-point lead, blow out, you're not playing for.
You're talking about the last
That's usually how that West Coast trip goes.
Yeah.
It's either there or Utah.
I was going to say, was it last year or 2 years ago? They did Utah, they did Denver and then Utah back-to-back. That's altitude. And two tough places to play. I'm like, oh, well, we can just chalk those up.
Well, I remember, 2 years ago, Wizards got beat by a 50 ball.
Yes.
In Utah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next night, Brad went for 52.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a normal thing. But, yeah. Gary, you're right. I'd rather start the trip in Denver. That's why I mean, you'll at least get in shape right there. So when you get to the flatlands, to the desert in Phoenix, you'll at least be trying to keep up with them young fellas out there because they all balling right now.
And then we get to go see Oubre.
Yep.
Monty Williams has done a great job.
Man.
Let's talk about Phoenix, right?
Right.
I mean, and he got like Aaron Baines while they're waiting for, you know, Ayton to finish his 25-game suspension. They got pieces. Rubio out there running the show. We always thought that Phoenix was like a point guard away, and they've got a winning record. And I love Booker. I don't know why he's complained about getting double teamed in the summer. I'm like, shoot, man, double teams is going to help you when the season starts.
Have you changed your tune on him?
I actually have.
Okay, because I was going to say you were not.
I don't want him over Brad, but yeah, I like that young fella. He's young. That's a baby right there.
Right.
Yeah. He might be Quentin's age.
Maybe.
He's 22, right?
22.
I think he's 22, isn't he?
That sounds right. Wow.
He might be 23.
That's a youngin.
But look what happens when he has a point guard. When he doesn't have to assume point guard responsibilities,
yeah,
he can just work off the
crazy
ball.
Crazy last year watching him have to facilitate and score.
He had to do it all.
He tried to go for that 50 ball against the Wizards. Remember that, Drew?
Sure did.
Man, he was going for 60 and losing. It was tough.
He just turned 23. October 30th.
Wow.
So he's a baby.
That's crazy. He has a 70-point game.
We should do that in a pregame show. Are we having our production meeting over the podcast?
We could do that. Sure.
We should do like the top players under the age of 25.
That's a lot of them. I guess there's a lot of them out there right there.
Luka's one. Giannis?
How old is Giannis?
Yeah, Giannis is 26, I believe.
Is he 26 now?
I don't know. He's that. Is he that old?
Is he? I mean, he's been in the league. This is seventh or eighth year, right?
He came in at like 18.
Hey, Gary, be careful of typing in Giannis because when you put the last name in there.
He got drafted 2013.
Giannis is 24. He turns 24 next
exactly.
month.
Yeah, he got drafted 13.
So Giannis is one.
Luka's two already.
Yeah. Devin Booker might be three.
Really? What about Carl Anthony Towns?
Oh, man.
True.
Some names.
Drew, you had me laughing when you said that man had boats. When you were talking about his feet when we were
How do you not call trout on Carl Anthony
right.
Towns?
Every
he wears 27.
Plus, you can get in his head a little bit. I mean, that stuff that Mo was doing in Minnesota was pretty funny, just getting into his head, taking those charges.
He threw the ball back at Mo and got the check, right?
Yeah. Put that ball on his chest.
Cat just turned 24. That was disrespectful, man. That never happened to you, right, Drew? Because you would have fought, right?
Man, ain't nobody ever tried me like that, G.
You can't.
Like, nobody ever tried me like that. I don't even know if I would have did anything, but just nobody really just tried me like that. I don't know. I guess they already felt the physicality, and I really didn't talk too much or smile.
That's the problem.
Now,
I'm not gonna assume anything about my good friend Drew Gooden, but here's what I do know about him. Just don't go there. Like, there's just certain guys in the league. Like, Tony Allen was one of those guys where it was like, look, don't mess with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think Marcus Smart is like that now. The Morris twins are definitely like that.
Fighting Embiid the other night.
Yeah, but he told him, he said, I'm from Philly. I'm from Philly.
He said, I'm from Philly.
Yeah, you said, you play in Philly. I'm from Philly.
I love that. I love it.
Harris against Portis. Got it done. And a foul as Embiid hit the deck. Joel, stay away. And we don't need another two-game suspension.
Yeah. So there are certain guys in the league that you just say, discretion is the better part of valor. And Drew Gooden was one of those guys. Yeah.
Well, I came up having to go against, like I said, Tony Massenburg, Carl Malone, Shaq, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Antonio Davis, Dale Davis, Eldon Campbell,
Kevin Garnett,
KG, Tim Duncan, Alonzo Mourning. I mean, the list goes on of the bigs I had to go against and guard and be in a game with. So I had to hold my own. And once I came out of that era into this, you know, kind of the newer era, like Brad's rookie year. I mean, there were kids around me.
Well, y'all are lying, by the way. Joel Embiid's under 25.
We might have to change.
Yeah. Andrew Wiggins.
Joker is under 25.
I told you. That's Wiggins? What we should do.
That's wait a minute now.
That's a really good conversation.
Zach LaVine.
Nah, we good on that.
You can have him. Ben Simmons is on 25, and he's got a three-pointer, Drew.
What do you start?
He got over 100% for the three.
By the way, you should have seen how close his foot was to the line, too.
We should have been at two.
We were like, ooh, did they look at this? That would have been because the way the Philadelphia announcer, you would have thought they won a title. When he hit the three, I was like, come on now. If they had done all that celebrating and everything, and they went back and reviewed a commercial.
Upon
further review, Ben Simmons long two.
He would have to run out the arena if he said that.
Back to live action.
They would have beat him out of there. Yep, sure would have.
You know, another really good list is like the tough guys in the league.
Mm.
But this era is, you know, they don't.
I know my one seed. You mentioned him already on this podcast, Christopher.
Marcus Smart?
No.
Oh,
Pat Bev?
Yeah, he's crazy, man. I wouldn't mess with him.
But everybody messes with him, though.
No, man.
You heard what Russell Westbrook said about him?
No.
He said he doesn't play real defense. He just runs around out here. After they beat him, he said all he do is run around. He doesn't play defense.
He's a different cat, man. I don't think I'd mess with him.
I think you got to be taller than like 6'2". You got to be like big. The tough guy in the league. So right, who, Drew? Like there's got to be a guy where you look at him and you're like, man, that's an
opposing figure. I get that. But he's one of those guys I just don't want to mess with.
Yeah, like I don't know Pat Bev, but I know where he's from. He's from, I think, the west side or south side of Chicago.
Yes.
And
I know who it is, Drew. I know who got the crown. James Johnson. You schooled me on that one.
I said it again.
James Johnson.
Oh, you talking about with the hand combat.
Hey, the dude in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he got got feet and hands.
He's one of. I heard Royce White. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
Sure.
Yeah, and we talk about mental health awareness. I wonder why we never brought up Royce White. That, you know, next time that comes up, I'll drop that nut.
I think he would be actually a really good case study to talk about because, when he came in the league, he couldn't fly and stuff like that. But, James Johnson is definitely probably the guy with
– man.
When you got feet and hands.
Yeah, some people just got hands.
Well, they say you can roundhouse kick the net.
See, that's
– that's ridiculous.
Nope.
You're done. That's it.
All right, with Pat Riley, I ain't out of shape. Watch me go roundhouse kick this net.
All right, man, we're going to get out of here, man. We can chop it up all night, but, hey, we got to get ready. Drew, thanks for your time as always. Keep watching these Clippers games, man. You might change your mind.
I already changed my mind.
You both are good. I tell you what, in 2 weeks when you're back, you'll see them both firsthand, back to back.
That struggle bus. So Kawhi's like, I had 17 in 2 years. Kawhi Leonard's like, how did I only have 17? Watch, let that sit.
Well, that's because he was cruising, because he had that PG-13 next to him.
Okay, exactly.
Young fellow. Keep a close eye on that.
Thank you, sir.
Young Quinton.
I'm going to spare Quentin the one thing that we've been talking about for the last week and a half, week or so. Quentin was a hell of a basketball player back in the day.
Oh, please, Gary.
What?
Word.
Oh, yeah?
He can play.
Hey, is it YouTubeable?
I don't know. Was it YouTube? Actually, that's a great question.
Is it Drew? Googleable.
I'm Googleable.
He's a Team Takeover. He played on Team Takeover back young.
Okay.
What?
It's not Googleable, though. But I switched to football.
But he played football.
Wise choice, Teddy.
So
okay.
So he's a football player. So, but yeah, and you know, so, somebody I got to bring it up now. I'm sorry.
All right, well, you already brought it up.
So Quentin, and he might be very good. He's better than me. I'll readily admit that he's better than Chris.
Huh?
He's better than you.
In what?
Basketball.
Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you seen him? So yeah, you went out there and actually hoop with him, or you seen?
No. I kind of get this, and I'm not even. I think he can play if he's playing on Takeover at any point in time in his career. In his life, he's
got
to be pretty
good.
Get
to your point, because now you got my antennas
here
up.
We go.
So Jason Smith was on our pre- and post-game shows the other night.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Quentin thinks he could score a basket on Jason Smith. Now, not only that, but here's the thing, ready? So, like, if he had just said that I could score on you, they get out on the court, and Jason backs up and says, all right, I'll give you one shot. And if he makes that shot, then he would have scored, and he would have won his bet. He talked so much junk to a guy who's 7 feet tall and just played in the league last year, and Quentin thinks he can score on him. Drew?
It's 1 point.
The floor is yours. At a game to 11, how many points? Quentin is 6'2".
Come on, give me 6'3".
6'3". I'll give you 6'5". What you want?
I just need three clips. If I can see three clips, I have a better answer. Now, I never speak when I don't know it. And ask Chris this. If Chris wants my opinion on something, I say, let me call you right back. Let me hop on YouTube. Let me look at him.
He does do
so
that.
I haven't done my homework.
Okay.
But if you give me something, whatever that is, whether it's live action, I could even just sit throwing the ball a couple times and see him shoot. I can let you know.
I'm acting as his agent here.
You're a bad agent.
He says that he could have played. He could have played college basketball. He chose football instead.
I really could have, But I'm just saying, like I talked to Coach Patsos as well. Game to six or game to seven. It's 6-0. I got one shot.
It could be a game to 100.
Just give me one bucket. I can get a bucket. Period.
Now you can get hit no matter what level. Everybody can get hit. MJ done got hit before the 1-on-1. Everybody can get hit.
Just one.
Everybody could get hit. That's just the law of the game. You can get hit.
But here's the thing, though. Jason's going to try.
Did you actually tell him?
Oh, I in get his a face. On you, there's an Instagram. Like there's
that's
an
not,
Instagram.
That's not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful. I don't back down for nobody. Chris, you should know that.
Stickity.
He got my antennas up because I don't want to play him now. And I ain't played in a while.
Stick said it ain't happening.
Oh, no, we're going to try to make that happen.
Let's make it happen.
Oh, okay.
I really want to make it happen. I told Quentin he needs to leave his girl at home, though, because we don't want her to get all like, oh, wait a minute, start having second thoughts.
Look, she with me through me getting on air, okay? She knows that I chose a lifestyle that's just talking about it, okay? So. Just one bucket, okay. though. Just one bucket.
You're not getting one bucket.
And that's cool. You don't have to believe me.
I think you're a talented, strong young man. You got a bright future. Hey, you're not getting a bucket.
I got the usual that he gets it.
Really?
Yeah, I just look in his eyes and tell he can get a bucket. He'll score.
Okay. The usual.
The usual.
Okay.
Bye, Drew.
Bye, Drew.
Okay.
See you. Drew's like, bye. Okay, see you later. Hey, everybody.
Okay, all right. Until next time, fellas.
Yes, sir. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this latest edition of the Wizards Talk Podcast.
Oh, it's funny how you think Jay Smith is just some nice guy who's not going to actually dunk all over you.
It's funny how Jason Smith towers over you.
Hey, it's hard over hype, man. SIT.
I'm counting on Q's two-sport start with ball toughness, plays basketball.
Thank you, coach.
You get the ball. Games to seven, it's 6-0, and Q gets the ball to start. He can beat him.
Thank you, coach.
You're betting on that, coach?
We're betting lightly.
He's a coach. Here's the point I would make. Jason Smith played in the league last year. He didn't retire 20 years ago.
I don't care when he played. What y'all want me to come here and say, you know what, Jason Smith, I could never do anything against him. Hearts. Yes. We got a heart. I don't know about the guys that don't play. You want to say that somebody's better than you at basketball. I believe every time I touch the floor, I can get it done. And coach, he's a coach. He scouts. He recruits. He does all those things. He believes in his players. And that, I'm his player now. Okay?
No, you're not.
I'm his player.
No,
coach, you're my coach.
Look, he knows my guy Marquise Wright, who was a baller.
Baller, right? We make him. We make him in Waldorf.
Jason Smith could be playing in the Euro League right now if he wanted to.
Travis, you've been around. Travis, how big?